Welcome to another episode of Song Title Challenge, where the question is, climbers, how should you write this one, right? I think one of the biggest mistakes that amateur writers make, is that they just take the low-hanging fruit. They come up with this title, and then they try to write for the title. It's the first thing that comes to their mind. And this simple little 15 to 20-minute exercise is the difference between good and great, right? This is what takes a mundane song title, like just think about Hookbook and you see the title, The Dance, and you're like, wah, wah, whatever. And then Tony Rod is like, well, if we did it this way, and now it's iconic, epic, you'll never forget it. It makes you cry. It means so much. So that's the deal. This is a fun, creative exercise. Climbers send their titles into info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S. info@daredevilproduction.com. Put Song Title Challenge or STC into the subject line so it gets into the right folder. If you don't, it won't. And then I spring a title. I pick a title just moments ago. I pick a title, and then I'm going to spring it live to Brent and our esteemed hit songwriter guest on the podcast. And we have about 20 minutes to really just try to find five or six different conceptual angles to write this song. See if we can find a cool way to make it work. And that's part of the challenge, because a lot of the writers that we've had on would be like, well, Johnny, this would be the time when I would say, let's go to lunch. Or what else you got? But no, we got to work this one here. We're going to work this shit right here. So... Brent, you got any, it's a fun creative exercise. Yeah. It's not a co-write in any way, shape, or form. So climbers, if we use your title, use all of what we say, use none of what we say. We do demand an invite to the number one party. And I can tell you from my experience in Denmark that our guest today is on from my mothership and would also demand an open bar, or at least just for us folk over here. For
the- I demand childcare so I can bring my wife.
So I can bring my wife. There you go. And we're going to need childcare. We're going to need somebody who can handle like a force in nature.
I thought you were going to say we need a childcare for Gary.
So, Brent, you want to do the intros here? Because I'm super excited about our guest today.
Just a quick note for y'all listening for this first time. We are going to go across the board as far as genre, if that's where the title leads us. So we're not being constrained. Normally in a write, we'd be doing a lot of talk about, well, marketing, blah, blah, blah. How can this get cut? Or who are you aiming for? But this is because we don't know the genre of who's listening. And so we're just playing in the sandbox all the way around. So hopefully this will be a lot of fun. Our today's guest is from Kingston Springs, Tennessee, the daughter of a music industry legend, but has earned her own rightful place among the best songwriters in town in the span of her career with several number ones and several chart toppers. She currently writes for Carnival Music. Some notable cuts include Cleaning This Gun, which was a number one for Rodney Atkins, The Fool, number one for Leanne Womack with my buddy Charlie Steffel. I love Charlie. And number one for Tracy Byrd, 10 Rounds with Jose Cuervo. She is the co-writer and producer on the new single for Scout Speer. That's S-P-E-E-R. It's called I Didn't Know. Marla Cannon Goodman, welcome to The Climb.
Hi, Marla.
Hello.
Hey.
We're going to see y'all.
Thank you for saying yes.
I'm terrified.
Well, it's good.
We haven't lost a man yet. Don't worry about it. We got you.
Yeah, but I'm not a man. You may have found your first.
That probably means you're even better off. So
That's right.
I'm glad you go ahead and say you're terrified, because I am too every time. It's fun. It's low stakes. But, you know, every time we walk in a room, and if an artist goes, I got this title and I love it, but I don't know what to do with it. It's kind of that same moment of terror, but with like zeros attached. So
the funny part is when you hear it, when you, somebody says, I got this title, and it's an artist, and all you hear in your head is crickets. Again, new. Yeah.
Well, when Brent heard that in his head, they wrote a song about that.
Yeah, wrote a song called Crickets and got a cut. So.
There you go. How about this instead? You know
what, all I hear is crickets. Let's write that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Never ready. That's the whole point.
All right. So this comes from Joe Bogalke.
Joe.
Hello, Joe.
And so this title it's a little on the specific side, but I think one apostrophe can maybe.
Oh, no, now I'm really scared.
And we can go both ways. We can go with or without the apostrophe, and it makes stuff happen. But the song title is The Poet's Escape.
Oh, man.
The Poet's Escape. So it could be possessive, like the poet's escape, like his escape or her escape.
Right.
Or it could be like the escape where the poets go. But I think there's so much, I think there's room for metaphor in there. I think there's.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of stuff. It just was kind of interesting. I thought, man, this is super specific, but it's like today it's just popping out more than any other stuff I was looking at. And so I just thought, okay, I hope Marla doesn't stab me in the eye with a lobster fork.
No, see, I actually like that.
I was like, what are you doing to us,
Marla, hey, Marla, she throws a drink in my face. I'm like,
okay. My wheels completely started turning immediately just then.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Because my first thought is, well, this would be an instrumental piano piece. And my work here is done as a lyricist.
And I'm done. Drop the mic. And walk out of the
Thank
room.
You. Boom. Call the piano
you got
player.
The guy. Here's the guy you
Marla,
can call.
Grab the clarinet.
Exactly.
This is an instrumental clarinet. Yeah.
It totally sounds like it could be.
Yes.
Now, on NPR Radio, College Radio, The Poet's Escape by Marla Canna Goodman on clarinet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything I always never said.
Exactly. This one would climb to the top, but mainly in the elevator it's being played in.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Oh, mercy. So
off the top of my head, I thought like the poet's escape, you could color that to be maybe something like heaven, just some perfect place to go. And so therefore it's not the possessive. This would be like where the poets go. And it's just the poets, they have the most feeling, right? They're the most thought. We sort of romanticize a poet. And so where do the poets escape to? And that would be so beautiful that you could see the girl there, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I'd want to take you. Someplace that was so beautiful, like maybe only, it could only be possibly described by poets or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Brent asked me a while ago about lyricist or melody. And immediately, as soon as you said the line in my head, what popped in my head was, and this is seriously what I heard, because I have this crazy inside of my head, but it was like, there's a place out in the yard, up between two trees, a hammock where I'd go when I something. I mean, it's like that would be where immediately where my mind went.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to be the. To me, when you said the poet's escape, it was like, where would I go to get away from what's inside my head? I think, and it would be out there somewhere where you can actually.
Oh, that just went 10 levels deep. That's really good because there's so much. So on that, like I think about, you could do sort of third person, like talking about grandpa or something like that. Like some person that the writer knows that they revere, that they absolutely just worship the grandpa. And it's just like, and he was a poet. You could describe like all these beautiful things he said.
Right.
And that hammock. Mm. The hammock was the poet's escape.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a garage where he's fixing the car. Whatever that thing was that for George Jones, it was a freaking tractor.
Yeah.
A lawn tractor.
See, that made, when you started talking about that, you could be looking at a painting.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the words come out of a painting.
Ooh, yeah.
And that could be the poet's escape, that he puts someone down on a canvas and you see the inside of his thoughts.
Oh, I like that.
It feels like you're on a road trip to like Ireland or something. And it's the name of a pub. Or something. Down at the Poet's Escape. That's one thing Johnny and I pulled out. We start learning these little tricks going. Johnny's like, what
if it's about the bluebird?
What if it's about a dog? And I'm like, what if it's the name of a bar? And then we can do whatever we want there. And that's the name of the bar. Oh, yeah, like the bluebird.
See, it could be the bluebird could be the Poet's Escape.
Oh. Yeah.
Where you actually go in there and you just let all of these thoughts that you've been having out in front of people and see what they think.
All these bluebird songs.
Cool. That would be so cool. And it's just all about the bluebird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is so iconic in Nashville. Oh, yeah.
About how it shares the music with other people.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
How many new, masterpieces have escaped the
out of the doors.
Poet at the Bluebird, right?
Yeah.
10 rounds would be one of those.
Ooh. Yeah.
Nice. Really?
And it escaped out the doors of the Bluebird.
Oh, I love that.
That's great.
That's where Tracy heard it, which is funny.
That's awesome.
I was trying to think of if I was doing it in a hard rock genre, what would I say?
Oh,
it could be a song about heroin.
Oh, yeah. What about, like those poets, like the Jim Morrisons and the people that, I don't know what his particular drama was, but like.
That's how they got away
from it. That's how they got away from it. And so it'd be, that's interesting as a rock thing. Yeah. Going,
Jimi Hendrix.
That would be really cool.
Like, yeah, for sure, like a drug song.
Yeah. Cause that there's been some great, okay. So just, this has always just been so fascinating to me, but there's the Lou Reed way, which is just dark and stormy, right? Yeah. I mean, just, let's call the song Heroin.
That's kind of my way too. Yeah. Dark and stormy.
And then there's, I forget who wrote it, but the ones who put like the supremely happy major pop melody on a Heroin song. There she goes, there she goes again, running through my veins and I just can't complain. And it's just like, everybody's like, oh, it's such a beautiful song. It's like, man, that's the darkest lyric.
Hey, I just wrote one, and I know, joke, I just wrote one with Tucker Bethard, and the chorus on it is like, she'll come down with her best smile on. She'll come down like she ain't ever been gone. She'll come down, yes, she'll come down. She'll come down when she's ready. And it's all about her being strung out.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, in the first verse, it's like she's got, with her clothes, she's upstairs getting, you know, it sounds like she's getting dressed to go out with him. But she's just up there, and she hadn't come back down.
Oh,
yet.
Wow!
I don't think I've ever heard a song from that point of view. Like when they come down, like it's all looking high, but never she'll come down. That's interesting. That's I can't wait to hear the rest of that, Marla.
Yeah, that one's copyrighted, in case anybody wonders.
That's right. You can think about it, but don't
do it. You can look at the menu,
don't
but
do
you
it.
Can't
I'll come get you.
Exactly.
You know what? From two of the Poet's Escape is. If you were doing it, say if you were doing it pop, that would lean towards what Johnny said about being on an island somewhere and escaping with pina colada, margarita, whatever, like that, in a different, whole different genre feel.
Yeah, because with having Poet in it, it doesn't feel like straight up commercial country kind of thing. That just doesn't feel like the lingo. But if we were to try and shoehorn it in there, I would think it could be like, what are these escapes for different occupations or different types of people? Mechanics escape is under the hood. An athlete's escape is out on the field. Musician's escape is those six strings or whatever. And a poet's escape is the blank page or whatever, or a book or something like that.
And just, so you sit down with the page and you write it out.
Yeah. So it can kind of be about everyone's got their own kind of place. You call it the poet's escape, but it's really just about where different people go to get away.
Yes.
Yeah.
This might be more Americana, folky.
Can you link that to the Bible? Because the prose in there is...
Well, and there's a lot of poetry in the Bible.
Blasphemous to call it poetry?
Well, and the thing is that, well, I mean, a lot of our friends are very, very spiritual. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you really, we go to escape, because our heads are turned on all the time. And I mean, we are actually poets ourselves. So, I mean, I know I write everything in rhyme all the time. Yeah. I just rhymed.
I know that.
I did not mean to. And it happens.
She was a poet and she didn't know it. No, exactly. She made it rhyme.
Yeah. But yeah, that I was thinking that just a minute ago about, for me, I think, I mean, I know Casey would. Brent, I know you would. Mm-hmm. Gary, my husband, would lean towards the Bible to escape something too. I get inside my head. I run from things inside my head. I get quiet. And then I explode.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I hide from them in there.
What if the lyrics sort of lean towards, and this just has a cool factor to it, I think, if you can pull it off lyrically, but what if everyone's a poet, right? What if it's like an all-inclusive, like instead, what if you could like switch out the word, just not that you would do this lyrically, but metaphorically, if you're switching out the word, like our escape. The poet's escape, right? And so like we're all poets in different ways, right? Like when somebody does something well, sometimes they say it's like pure poetry, right? When they, which is like a euphemism for excellence, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like the artist. Artist escape.
Yeah. That's it. So like there's an artist, there's an artist chef, there's an artist mechanic, that guy that your friend of your friend knows who can restore your car like nobody knows.
Right.
They have the love for that one thing, that there's a horse whisperer. There's a.
If you did it, like if I was writing it country and I was writing it like that, I would actually, like in the verse, you could, talking about a mechanic, you could talk about how good he does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he's a, and you could even say that he's a master at what he does. Yeah. He's an artist when he picks up the screwdriver. Not that I would ever want to write screwdriver because it would be a terrible word to run.
Yeah.
But write that into that and set it up to where it's the poet's escape.
Yeah.
It's always every, and you might even go there. The poet's escape is a work of art. It's a, they're a master at what they do.
And yeah. And I think I keep thinking of like, what's the, but something, these people are trapped, but the poet's escape. Like if there's a way of saying like the people that are keep a tender heart that have a little deeper well, aren't caught up in this, that, or the other. Maybe it's even the mechanic going, you know, for some it's just a job, but the poet escapes like into the work and into what they're doing. If there's a way to do that, I think it'd be kind of cool. I don't know what the other side of that is saying.
So you changed it just then. You took the S off poet and put it on escape.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm messing with it. So that's true.
You could.
But the poet
escapes into there, into that place. So if you went, the poet escapes into that place.
You have that. You have that leash. Like you can put whatever you want before it or whatever you want after it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
to change the meaning. Like, I mean, it's like literally carte blanche, right? Like creative.
Yeah. If you make it more plural, then it could be the poet's escape. Yeah. The so-and-so gets trapped, but the poet's escape.
I like the, what if you did like the poet escapes into that place where all of his something and dreams, they wait and they do this and they do that. And that's where the poet escapes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's cool.
We touched on this. I can't remember how the conversation went, how we got there, but I think it was right there in front of us. Like, this could be a great song about our fallen musical heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I guess like, there's really good, but then there's the poets, and I guess the poets escape, and it's like a miss you kind of thing to
kind of the good die young kind
man,
of
like
thing.
The,
the rest of us are stuck down here, but the poets escape.
Yeah, to Waylon Jennings, to Keith
Whitley.
See, that works too if you say into that place right after it. If the poets escape into that place where the rest of their musical heroes wait to do it.
Double entendre on the poets escape in their own head that brought us all this art, and then I guess the poets escape.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing verse one, verse two. Oh, one is like into their head. The next one is like into that poet heaven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny and I were thinking the same thing at the same time, but you're louder, so you got it out there. Yeah, that could be cool. And that could be, depending on what musical icons you use, that could go several different places.
I'm sitting here now going, God, I wish that was my idea.
That's the fun thing about this.
A little song title challenge will take something that we're not so sure about and turn it into, like Brent always says, there's platinum underneath the gold. You got to dig deep.
Yeah. And that's what's fun about this is that so many of these titles, if they were in my hook book, I'd just like glide right past and be like, not today, But then like you're forced to spend 10, 15 minutes on it. Then you find something and go, there's something there.
Yes.
Which is for me the most fun and kind of encouraging part of this. It's going, I guess there are no bad titles. Because at first I would look at this and go, I don't like that title.
Yeah.
But then you figure out, oh, no, it's not bad titles, it's bad ideas.
And on that note, Marlo, one thing we forgot to mention at the top of the show was this is an incredibly cool exercise that a bunch of our guests have left going, all right, I'm going to go do this now. It's a great way to revive new energy into your old hooks. Go into your hookbook and that, because for whatever reason, it inspired you to write it down. It made it to the hookbook, right? And you had some sort of feeling, right? Something had some kind of energy on that, and you wrote it down. And then over time, it wilts like lettuce, right? And just if it doesn't make it to the song soon enough, all of a sudden it goes from this pile over here, kind of in your mind, and it just feels that way. But going back in, and Brent's done this and gotten cuts with it to the super old hooks, and just look out of 20 old hooks, pick one, do a song title challenge on, all of a sudden you're like, oh, and it's back.
Yeah.
But that's like Same Devil for me. I sat on Same Devil forever.
Here you go.
Because I didn't know what to do. I knew what I wanted to say, and I didn't know how to say it.
Yeah.
And but that was one I didn't throw out to people very often, because I knew that I wanted it to be Different Demons, Same Devil, but I didn't know how I wanted to write it. And the day that we were sitting in that room with Brandy, I was with Brandy Clark and Haley Witters, and I was like, okay, this is the room I want to put it out in.
Yeah. Because you know that they're going to craft it. And that's one thing about co-writing. I have some co-writers that you throw it out, you better know where you're going, because they're going to hit the gas, love the title, and then you're gone. And then you're like, what happened? And other people are grinders and are going to like, okay, let's really simmer on this, give it the time, really make sure. And you kind of learn those rooms that you're in, or at least I'm trying to, going, okay, this is a safe space for this idea that's not fully formed yet, but they're going to go on that journey with me to help figure it out. Other people are like, I better know where we're going. Because we're going to go.
You better have the map.
What.
Yeah, I was writing with a couple of people the other day, and I had one, and I was like, okay, I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't like it, if you're not all the way into it, just say so, because I know how I want to write it, and I don't want to waste it. Yeah. Because I don't like to throw them out there if I'm afraid of where it's going
to
go.
Okay, I got another idea. This is another way to kind of say it. Like, we've come up with this idea before in a song title challenge, but it fits on this title. And you kind of mentioned it, like, what if it was... You said, what if it's the name of a bar, right? But what if it's describing all these characters at a bar? Like in a Billy Joel,
that's piano a cool man
kind of way, like telling a story about all these different regulars that are at the bar. And I guess this is just the poet's escape.
Yeah.
This is where they come, because they all talk, they all impart wisdom, don't they? And they all, what you got to do when you're cooking your meat? If it's a brisket, you got to, you know, everybody's
all
an expert.
Poets are their own.
What if the bartender is the poet?
Yeah.
Because he's the one with all the words.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He's the one with all the answers.
Because the name of the bar.
That's why they go in there, because he lets them spill out.
Yeah.
That's why the poets go into his bar, because he lets them spill.
Poets need an ear.
And listen.
Poets need an ear. That's the line.
Yeah. And because of the name of the bar, it feels like it's not a honky tonk. It feels like that's why I first said like Ireland, or it could be the Billy Joel maybe kind of thing, or like the Chesney Beach album kind of thing, because he'll do stuff like that. Feels like that could be a thing, because he had that whole album like Poets and Pirates or something. So that would be my commercial brain goes, where could we land this that might it actually land somewhere? Then you start thinking of like, oh, we could twist it here from this kind of outcome possibly, or we could just twist it here for this sort of thing. So climbers, we often do that kind of thinking. I mean, Marley, do you do that when you're writing? Like, if you're just writing without an artist in the room, at some point you start hitting like, oh, this could be a so-and-so kind of thing. Let's just kind of tailor it a little bit.
I don't do that a lot, because if I do, it tends up sounding like a really bad version of something they've already done.
Oh.
So sometimes when I'm done and I'll be like, that sounds like so-and-so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've tried to do it a few times. One time it worked, Lorna Lana.
Yeah.
That one worked. But yeah, for the most part, I like to just see where it goes. I don't really care where it's going at the beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, who it's going to go to at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, I just want it to be as good as I can make it.
And that's part of the thing too, because I've heard from a lot of different writers that some have success like aiming and like project writing, target writing, and others like, no, dude, it kills me. It steps on my creativity. I can't do it. I got to write it and then later find out. And people have success both ways. So I think it's important to kind of know yourself and like what works for you.
Right.
And
what I think a lot of that too might be a bit of, dare I say, like habit, like, or what's your normal groove? And if your normal groove is, because I've known a couple of rock star buddies of mine that were like, normally I'm just writing like it's just from the heart. It's just all this stuff. And then it was really fun to do like a soundtrack because I had some sort of framework already there that I had to work on. That was a fun exit from what they were normally doing. And if you're if you're normally writing a soundtrack, then it might be fun to get in a room where it's just like free willy and we're going to do whatever the hell we want. And either way, it's an uncomfortable place for the artist to be, right? For the writer to be. And I think that's what makes it exciting. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an idea.
In my head.
Oh, go ahead, Marla.
I was just thinking, I mean, I'm sitting here as you're talking, and this is something that I found myself doing all the time. Like, you say one thing, and then my mind goes completely somewhere else.
Yeah.
So while y'all were talking just then, I was thinking, if you wrote it, the poet escapes instead of the poets, you could even do the poet's escape, but I'm hearing like the poet escapes into that place where the stools are empty, all empty, and the bartender waits. To hear that it's what something and knowing he'll listen.
Yeah.
It's like that whole thought of it's not a real bar. It's a place in his head that he goes to to find what that maybe even the line he's looking for or the wisdom to put into that song he's writing or what the poem he's writing.
That is cool.
You could book in that too. The way you served it up, you could book in it with "The Poet Escapes" to blah 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 to blah 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 blah. I guess that's "The Poet's Escape."
Yeah.
Like, or "Thank God for the Poet's Escape." Like, you could book in those two things. Yeah. That would be kind of a cool play.
Or even they call it "The Poet's Escape."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So I have two ideas that have hit me. One is like the people that don't follow kind of the muse and their art and their careers and stuff. It's almost like the muse will leave you and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But the poet escapes, gives those ideas to someone else, and Ooh. It will find its way out. Like if you, the poet is kind of a,
is that, are the you muse. For the muse? Yeah.
For the muse.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that sort of thing where, you know, yeah, he sits in the corner office and he chose this path instead. Well, you know what? The poet escapes and goes somewhere else, and that art will find its way out into the world. So that's hoity-toity kind of thing. Another thing is, what if, like, the poet, and this would be the poet escapes out of this person that normally they do their 9-to-5, they do their thing that's bland, doesn't feed their soul, it's not to them, it's not their art. But then on the weekend, man, the poet escapes and they are who they really want to be. You know, whether it's the guy under the hood doing that or the person that's writing and like letting that part out, or when, boy, if you start talking about fishing, the poet escapes and has his muses and that kind of stuff. So that could be something too. Ooh. Marla?
Or you could do "The Poet Escapes" when he picks up the pen, touches the paper, starts writing again.
Yes.
The words, that is something, and da 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 da. And that's how the poet escapes.
Yeah, every now and then the poet escapes. Like, it's like most of the time they're not, but every now and then the poet escapes. Like, could be the falling in love thing, and he'll be with his girls or his wife or her with him or something. That, so the poet is the poet within that person.
I love that too. The poet escapes when he lays down his head and turns to the woman on the, you know, the other side of the bed. And
Yeah. What if he's like steel-toed boots?
That
all
would
day
be beautiful.
If you do that from a female perspective, where she's just talking about how much of, like, he's like a man's man, your Marlboro man,
and he does all these things. Like, the poet comes out of it.
Exactly.
He comes out down the pillow. Yeah. The poet escapes.
Yeah. I remember, what is that in "Of Mice and Men"?
That's hot right there.
That's cool.
That is cool. "Of Mice and Men."
Johnny said, "That's hot right there."
I got chills. Yeah, fanned
himself a little bit.
I just felt like what it might feel like to be a girl in love with a man for a second. I was like, "Woo!" Is that wrong?
That's called dreaming, Johnny.
Yeah. I can bet my wife most of what escapes is a fart.
I'm glad y'all can't hear Gary.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I was going to say, in that book "Of Mice and Men," one of the guys at work, he always wore one glove on his hand because he kept one hand soft for his wife, because they're all doing manual labor and stuff. And so for some reason, it makes me think of that, where like he keeps that one hand for her, which is pretty cool.
That's some good furniture right
there.
That's,
it is.
It's like he works hard during the day. He's the mechanic, like you said, or he's a whatever. Mm-hmm. But when he comes home at night, the poet, you know, when he lays down at night, the poet escapes and he becomes this. Yeah.
And that could be like the vignette kind of thing, about one verse is like him, another verse is somebody else that like was maybe more literally a poet or has that other outlet, that they become kind of more who they truly are, would be pretty cool. And that could go folk, Americana, possibly country. I don't know. Probably many ways you could do that. So,
not hard rock. You could do a very Bon Jovi, "Never Say Goodbye" kind of song like that, rock and roll.
Now you're talking my language. See, Marla, this is why we're friends. I love you. Gosh, look at you.
I can sing you any love song from the 80s. Yeah. You just asked Johnny. Yeah. I know them all.
I love it. I'm with you, Sister Love. I'm with you. I sang them. So here, real world story. Like, this just hit me. Like, so Janelle's always like, we're going day-to-day life and everything like that. It's like, you're always great. You're always like, I know you love me and everything, and it's always good, and you're so sweet and everything. But then there's this moment when you get like 2.5 cocktails in you. Where you like really love me.
I'm done then.
Really love me. You know what I mean? Like, and not like, I just all of a sudden I'm just like fawning over her, and the poet escapes. And after a couple cocktails, the poet escapes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something like that, where it's like that moment where she goes, that's
where the words
come really
or when you're trying to pick her up in a bar.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how much are you drinking? Enough till the poet escapes.
Yeah. Start sweet talking that girl at the bar.
Yeah.
Man, we got some
saying things that I don't mean.
Yeah. I mean, that could be kind of a funny song too, like a little tongue in cheek, a little lighthearted, a little fun, which would be kind of funny. And then the poet escapes. And even if he's not good at it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. Like, can I, well, can
for the chances are he's not.
I'm looking at your tag. What?
Yeah.
I just want to see if you're made in heaven.
Exactly.
It's like, all those one-liners.
You need to lock that poet back up.
Yeah.
We don't want the poet to escape.
No. No.
That's good. Marla, we got some good looks at this.
This was fun.
That's awesome.
This went a couple different places. I never thought it would go. That was.
Yes.
Imagine that.
You can always count on that with Marla. Just like, look. Just buckle up, maybe get a helmet and some bail money. And
yeah, exactly.
Marla, thank you so much for
sure. Absolutely. For I love you guys so very much. This was so fun.
Brent, one more time, let's plug the new single that's out.
Yes. So the new single, which Marla is a co-writer and producer, is called I Didn't Know. It's by Scout Speer, S-P-E-E-R. And you can find it on your streaming services, though it's even better if you go and plunk down some money somewhere.
And Ava Page, I have Ava's single out.
Oh, sweet.
If I Were You.
If I Were You by Ava Page.
Did you go right there with her?
Yes.
She just sang that in my freaking living room two nights ago and just slayed everybody with that friggin' song. I mean, everybody was just like, so, I mean, like D Vincent was here. Like, we had a whole sort of Nashville Nights thing.
I was doing floats with my kids, so I didn't get to come.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. So you got a room full of killer writers, and you know, like when you really hit it, and they're like, damn, like they're like impressed and pissed off at the same time, like that. That's a song, right there.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
We wrote one with Dave Finley, and it's called Songs from a Late Night Motel.
Mm-hmm.
And she just put a clip up of it, and I haven't heard her sing it. And I was like, oh, it is just, it's so good.
Something else,
yeah.
Yeah, she's something.
She's something else. She's been She's been a better picker than me since she was like 13.
Yeah, since she was 2.
And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, she's one of those that will get you impressed off. I'm so impressed off right now.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Marla.
Thank you so much
for saying yes. This was super fun, man. Yes. Maybe we'll do it again sometime in the near future.
I would love to. I love
awesome.
You guys.
This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.